It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, yeah, yeah! Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Each and every day on Liberty News Radio across the country from Phoenix, Arizona on Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I'm glad to say that we got more and more new upgrades coming online. We keep doing more stuff on the back end so we can do more stuff on the front end for you. And we have a lot more people contributing, a lot of people writing, a lot of people sending us stuff we need to get up, which we have been doing. And this weekend, you know, I primarily took off, you know, not a lot of times. I get a lot of family stuff going on, going to the lake and visiting with and spouses and girlfriends and children of and grandkids. And so I'm like, but then you got to go look at Freedom's Phoenix. I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of our subscribers and so on do the same thing on Monday. It'd be Sunday night or Monday. Normally you would think Monday would be a slow news day kind of thing, but it kind of builds up over the weekend. People, they go to their computers, they go to work, they look at their, you know, the archives and so on. All of a sudden on Monday, you know, if anybody didn't get, for some reason, they email whatever, they didn't get their newsletter, boom, hey, man, where's my newsletter? So then we have on the top, just in case that happens, on the top of freedomsphoenix.com is a horizontal navigation bar, and it says archives, and you have a drop down, and the top one says newsletter archives. So you can always go there and see every newsletter dispatch that went out with all the headlines so you don't miss anything. You can also hit page 2, and then it goes page 3, page 4, page 5. It just scrolls, so you have the continuation of 100,000 articles. So if you missed a week or on vacation, there's always a way that you can go and see all the stuff so you don't miss anything. There's a bunch of other things that you can do, too, to keep apprised of certain categories and stuff. We have a lot of cool stuff there. Go watch the special features and tutorials button, which is right underneath the Freedom's Phoenix logo at the top left of the page. But the reason I bring that up is because Monday, interestingly, is one of the busiest days of the week. I mean, you wouldn't think that, you know, you'd think kind of build up throughout the week and so on, but I know why. It's for the same reason that, you know, I do a lot of research on Freedom's Phoenix, is because you know what happened on the weekend. And on the weekend, a lot of times we try and put a lot of, you see a lot of science and a lot of technology and a lot of, you know, energy innovations and such as that. We put that up a lot on the weekend because that's what, you know, I just always with the negative waves, man, there's always so much stuff going on. All the corruption, all of the banking stuff, all the economic stuff, all the housing, all the, you know, the lies and deceit. And we're just going, you know what? Humanity marches on. And there's just so much empowerment of individuals, more so than's ever been throughout history. A single 15-year-old kid has more ability to communicate with more people than an entire network did, 15 years ago. So this is this democratization of information is what I'm going to be talking about today, and in particular one thing. But I want to make sure that, you know, I just let you know that, you know, I'm trying to keep it positive, that we got to have solutions. It's going to get really, really negative here at a much faster pace. It's already starting. I mean, when you got the bad guys starting to admit that, well, maybe it's kind of classically, technically a depression, but there's some still green shoots in the cracks of the driveways with the weeds of the foreclosed houses that are sitting there for 2 years. Well, at least the weeds are green. So this is it's getting bad. And here in Arizona, I don't know, are we worse than other places or better? Or I don't know. But I know that we're, you know, it's not becoming a, you know, a well-kept secret anymore. So what was happening this weekend? Well, Bernanke, he goes to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, I guess it was, or wherever the heck, you know, he went. That just rings a bell. I don't care. You know, oops, sorry. He was talking. Yeah. He was talking to, you know, big economic Uber guys that were going to come to a plant. Yeah, whatever. And he was saying that, who cares? I mean, it all comes down to this. The Federal Reserve will do any and everything it can to make sure that the recovery is not hampered. Did it ever cross your mind that every single thing that you are doing is making it worse? I mean, you may kick the can down the road a little bit, but it just, it's, that can's going to get so big, you're not going to be able to kick it anymore. So that's where we're going. You know, I had other stories on there. We can, you know, spend the whole week on, you know, all the bad stuff that's going on. You know, I mean, from vaccine deaths and injuries skyrocketing, you know, there's a cover up going on there. We have, you know, the United Nations climate panel is urged to reform and stick to science. Quit playing politics because it's getting out of hand. Everybody knows that they're, you know, they're playing. Then you have Ron Paul going, I think there isn't any gold in Fort Knox. I want an audit. You know, I'm introducing legislation. Man, let's get this audit thing going on with the gold. I don't think we got any. You know, I mean, you know, prove me wrong, dummy. You know, and then we're trying to get some other guys on later this week. We have some scheduling people that's coming on, and we'll talk about that today. Some people we're going to try and, you know, see what's really going on, because what do we have? The Chinese Central Bank, the head of the Chinese Central Bank is, you know, may have to defect after they lose $430 billion. You know, they're starting to, what's happening to him? Well, that's the rumor, but, you know, is he to blame? And are they going to blame him anyway? I mean, you don't know, but China, man, there's going to be, you know, they may let one guy go down, but I don't know. They ready to lose a half a trillion? Are they going to do something else? What are they going to do? Then we hear that the renminbi, you know, heck, I don't even know what that is. Is that Russian? Is that Chinese? It's not U.S. dollar. I can tell you that. You know, they're going to go to something else. You know this, and then what do we have? You know, we have the Department of Justice is demonizing constitutionalists and survivalists, criminals of the state. A recent Department of Justice guide for investigators of criminal and extremist groups list constitutionalists and survivalists alongside organizations like Al-Qaeda and Aryan Brotherhood. You deliberately tried to survive. You know, those of you who've been around politics for any amount of time, remember this during the Clinton years. I remember how it went. You may remember some of these headlines, you know, and this is all part of it. Baby formula was in short supply. You know, people were hoarding baby formula. They're going to Walmart, buying them by the pallets, getting them wherever, and stockpiling something somewhere for something. And then you started having calls for limits on the kind of supplies you could get, and it was illegal to hoard. They're like, oh, hoarding, man, that'd be bad. Gotta stop that. You don't want people having baby formula forever. You know, they'd be able to, you know, supply, make a gazillion dollars because they got baby formula. Why? Because they'd have baby formula. What's one of the first things that happens when you have a national or national disaster? Where do we get baby formula? Because if you're not breastfeeding, if you're not producing enough milk, you know, what are you feeding them? You know, I've had four kids, got grandkids and everything. You know, this formula thing is, I mean, of course, we get a baby food maker steamer. It's really cool. A good friend of ours got it for us. What it was is it's you put vegetables in it And in like 10 minutes, it steams it to where you can just smish it up. And it goes through and it comes out baby food, fresh, raw, natural baby food from organic vegetables, comes out the other end, feed them. You know, my grandkids, you got every chance going for them. You know, we said, aha, we win. What are you going to do, make that illegal? Don't laugh. You know, that's one of the big things they're talking about now is this, I don't know, is it Bill 50 or whatever? You know, they're going to try and make to where it's illegal for you to be able to grow your own food and share it with your neighbors and sell it and all this controls. Of course they are. They, them, those. They won't leave us alone. So, but, you know, you have good things, you know, leaking out a little bit here every now and then. The movie For Liberty, How the Ron Paul Revolution Watered the Withered Tree of Liberty, is now available on Netflix. So if you subscribe to Netflix, go and get in the queue for it. Say, I want my For Liberty movie. I want it. And get that sucker up top. Whoa, boom. Yeah, the big giant demand for the truth. Oh, we're going to get into what we're going to be talking about in the next hour and the guests we're going to have and why and the headlines here building up to it. Oh, it's going to be good, good. You guys stay right there. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Of me, Ernest Hancock. It's getting nasty, nasty, nasty out there. The Dallas Fed August manufacturing activities comes at -13.5%, below expectations. You know, oh man, how bad does it have to get? Here we go. So there's battles going on behind. It's not who gets the goodies. I mean, it is about who gets the goodies. I mean, it's about who gets what's left. And I tell you who's not in competition for the economic pie. You and me. Our names are not on that list. I mean, the best that we might get is an extension of unemployment benefits or something. But this is all building up. This is just keeping everybody kind of, man, you know, what happens when you have millions of people, 40 million people, 40 million people benefiting from food stamps. What happens when that goes away? You know, how much is that? That's like, you know, a lot. You know, it's 10-15% of the people. You know, it's like 15%, up in the teens that you have. I mean, I can't do, you know, super math, but I mean, you got 300 million people, you have 40 million. I mean, it has to be at least, I don't know what, in the teens, 15% people, you know, that's, you know, surviving. I mean, literally surviving on the government cheese, or at least, you know, government food stamps so you can go get some cheese. Okay. Unemployment. What happens when the unemployment, you know, it's already run out. You just keep extending it. And it's like they're doing everybody a favor. We're so far, man. But who's doing well? Companies that sell items to stock emergency shelters are fat and happy. Maybe there are more people following Barton Briggs' advice and preparing for a worst-case scenario than you think. See, when I know who Barton Briggs is, but if his advice is buy more food, well, I'm for that. Okay. You know, the first thing, do you got food? And anybody that's trying to be free, you know, just look, I just want to be let, you know, I'm going to go and just stay in my RV. I'm going to go out. Let me think. I'll go out. How far can I go? I can go out into the middle of Death Valley. Okay. I'll go out in the middle of anyway. I'll go to Burning Man where everybody is just, you know, out on their own and we're just parachute, you know, tenting and in our RV and we'll just go out and get away from the man as much as we can. Here comes the man. You know, we knew this was going to happen. We've been following this for over a decade. And in just the last 5 years or so, we've been, you know, Brian Doherty, one of the writers for Reason Magazine, wrote a book, Burning Man. Had him on talking about it and so on. And as time goes by, when you have that many people, you're not allowed to police yourselves. You're not allowed to take your own risk. You're not allowed to, you know, oh, here comes the sheriff. There's always some authority over a geographic area. And if you're out in the middle of the freaking desert, Death Valley, I mean, you're out in nothing, can't just flat, salt flat, as far as I can see in the mountain range, way over there. So there, here comes a guy in the uniform. Because I can't. How much revenue can we generate from? Did you get your permit? Do you have your whatever? So, you know, it's you're not allowed to duck. Okay. So, you know, we kind of focus on a lot of, positive things, you know, like even with global warming. Global warming, first Russian gas tanker sails Northeast Passage. You ever hear about the infamous Northwest Passage? You're looking for the Northwest Package. You ever passage? You ever hear that in grade school or something? You know what it is? They come up with the St. Lawrence Seaway, you know, up around Quebec and so on. They're going trying to find it. You know, as far as the sailboats can go. What it really is north of Canada, up around the North Pole. The ice pack breaks up in the summer. You know, if it's warm enough, you can actually, you know, circumnavigate. You can go from, you know, Manusk or Mamusk or however you say it, and I got it here somewhere, in Russia, and sail around over to Alaska, you know, around the North Pole. Murmansk. Yeah, where it's Russian. So you go over, and you can go from there all the way out of Deer, which is over in the eastern part of Siberia, and you sail around the North Pole, well, or around the North Pole ice pack. So if you can do that, you know, all of a sudden a bunch of islands start coming mineable. You can go get some goodies. You can claim the territory. No, this is ours now. Well, if it was under the ice pack, who has it? Canada? Russia? I don't know, whoever's got the destroyer, that's who. So they go, all right, so we're start to have, well, then it starts, you know, filling back in. It'll start icing over again. Then what? You know, they keep making a big deal out of global warming. They never even look at the benefits of global warming. You know, this has happened before in human history. It was called the Renaissance. All of the productivity, all of the fruitfulness of all of the agriculture and so on is what gave rise to an enormous boon in economic and social advancement for Western cultures. It was just an explosion because they could feed themselves. So now, of course, we're all going to hear about the negatives. But the thing is that it's going to come and go no matter what. Let me tell you who knows. You know who knows? Monarchs. The Queen of England. They have history from, you know, back forever. You know, they can predict it. They got the cycles. They understand, you know, sunspots. What they know. You know, they know the best. You know what reminds me of? It reminds me of the movie Mel Gibson about the Aztecs and so on, Mesoamerica. They have, what was it called? Apocalypto. And you got the priest up there with the king, or their Aztecs are sacrificing guys, ripping their hearts out and throwing them down the stairs and blah, 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 in anticipation of. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, the eclipse hits, boom, and the sun goes away for the first time in these people's lives. They didn't know. I mean, you think everybody had a little sundial and the knowledge, and they went to school about when the sun goes away from the moon and this, and it gets black in the middle of the day. You think they shared that with everybody? Heck no. They keep that, the elite keep that to themselves. That's what makes them elite. All of a sudden, the sun freaking went away in the middle of the day. And then booga, 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 then it comes back. You know, the guy doing the booga, booga, guess what? You the man. You in charge. Yeah, what? You know something I don't know. I mean, damn, you predicted that? Oh, man, you got magical powers of, you can make the sun go away. Seriously. Heck, man, if I was a all-powerful alien race or whatever, heck, I'd put the moon out there just so with the time, just so I could do it. I mean, okay. Oh, and the moon, it never faces more than just one side to the Earth. I mean, the other side, the dark side of the moon, whether it's in the sun or not, we never see it. We only see one side. It rotates at the same speed that it goes around the Earth. So you only see one side of the moon, because as the moon rotates, it does it at the same speed that it goes, it orbits the Earth. And there's a lot of speculation as to why, blah, 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 doesn't matter. What happens if, you know, you wanted to just put on the dark side of the moon on the other side, you know, an entire moon base alpha, big giant cities, De La, whatever, you know, how would you know? Get your spaceship, go look at it, do you? You know, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. I'm not advocating anything. I'm just saying, look, man, you know, until somebody, you know, until I get my own little satellite rocket ship, go and check it out myself, Nike/Fruit of the Loom sponsored spacecraft goes and takes, you know, I don't believe nothing. I'm my own eyes kind of thing. You know, so I'm just, there's so much stuff going on that we just take for granted. We just believe because that's what they said, because that's what they told us. Well, this is a lot of what we're going to talk about at the top of the next hour. And I pinky swear, I'll tell you all about what we're going to talk about and everything and all this stuff and how it's going to affect us socially right when we come back. But I'm going to tell you what my little secret is. If you're not already on Freedom's Phoenix looking at today's archive, you know, we'll be right back and I'll fill you in.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Well, there's a lot of banks wanting to break free. Yeah, it's a renminbi. Let's see, it's from financialtimes.com, FT.com. A number of the world's biggest banks have launched international road shows promoting the use of the renminbi to corporate customers instead of the dollar for trade deals with China. Okay. HSBC, which recently moved its chief executive from London to Hong Kong, and Standard Chartered are offering discounted transaction fees and other financial incentives to companies that choose to settle trade in the Chinese currency. Renminbi, I guess that's Chinese currency. Here we go. We're now capable of doing renminbi settlement in many parts of the world, said Chris Lewis, HSBC's head of trade for Greater China. All the other major international banks are frantically trying to do the same thing. Yep, they're among a slew of global banks, including Citigroup and JP Morgan, holding roadshows across Asia, Europe, and the U.S. to promote the renminbi to companies. The move aligns the banks favorably with Beijing's policy priorities and positions them to profit from what is expected to be a rapidly growing line of business in the future. The phenomenon will accelerate Beijing's drive to transform the renminbi from a domestic currency into a global medium of exchange like the dollar and the euro. Wow. And then go on and on and on. Bottom line, dollar done. Can you say done? Dollar done. Done, 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 done. I mean, at what point? How far does this have to go? How bad does it have to get before you realize the dollar's freaking done? I don't know how many ways. You know, let's go ahead and take a look. Let's see how done it is. Let's go ahead and go to Freedom's Phoenix. Got my quick link here. I go check on silver and gold. Pushing on the button. Gold's at 1236. Let's see. It was as high as 1242. Just what? You know, what is that? Friday? Okay, let's look at silver. Where are we at? Over $19 still. And it was as high as 1935, it looks like. Heck, just a week or two ago, it was 1760 or something. What is that? That's almost two. I mean, that's a lot. 10% in a few days, in a week. You know, I'm just, you know, come on, man. You know, how much, what do you need? I need food, first thing. You can go worrying about how much silver you got. But, you know, food. You know, we were talking, my wife, she's a real estate agent also, and she just closed on a couple of deals. And they're small and it's not, you know, a lot and everything, but it's, you know, it's extra. I mean, her money's like extra money. So she's like, well, what do you want us to want to do with this money? Well, we'll pay off whatever debt here we can, credit card there, and, you know, whatever. And we'll go fill the plastic barrels with years full of bread supplies. And we get, you know, enough rice here, enough beans there, and so on. Now I'm like, you know what? Instead of just being a coolie, you know, a poor Chinese slave on the radio, I mean, on the railroad, you know, I'm like, yeah, on the radio too, you know, eating rolls, bowls of rice, you know, I'm going, maybe we can, you know, get all sophisticated. We can actually make bread. What do you need to have bread? Well, you need, you know, some yeast. I don't know how long that'll last. You know, you have yeast and you get the flour and you get a little bit of this and that and so on. And we kind of put, we got chickens, got eggs, you know, so I go, okay, so let's go ahead and fill one of those big 55 gallon plastic barrels that we got on Craigslist. You know, one of my son's friends saw it, and the guy had dozens of them, and they were for transporting and storing tomatoes as they pick them. And there's this big blue sealable top. You know, Mormons love these, I'm sure. You know, storing all kinds of stuff. So I said, yeah, let's get some. And we got like six of them, and they're just empty. You know, I'm going, we got, you know, what's the use of having them if we don't put anything in them? So what are we going to put in them? Well, let's go ahead and put, because we get 5 gallon buckets that we had where you put a little diatomaceous earth and maybe a little something else in there, and you kind of, you know, seal it up and you just put it in the closet or under whatever. So, okay, we get some canned stuff. We get, you know, some freeze-dried this and that and whatever. So we're doing okay. But then our family keeps getting bigger. So I go like this. I tell my kids, I go, you guys better be getting some, you know, damn. Because, you know, you expect me to be your grocery store, you know. You guys got some responsibilities on your own. So they're doing their thing. So now we're going to, that's where our mind's at. That's where we're thinking. That's where the future is. Well, some other people have been thinking about this, too. Because the stories in the news are just, I mean, it's just one thing after another. You know, cash-poor governments are ditching public hospitals. Faced with mounting debt and looming costs from the new federal health care law, many local governments are leaving the hospital business, shedding public facilities that can be the caregiver of last resort. So it's all getting centralized. Yep. Here we go. And then there are people out there just say, man, I just, you know, we're just going to advocate being left alone. Well, how's that working? You know, they got Liberty on Tour guys. They're coming to Arizona in, I think, the 22nd of September. They'll be here for about a week. And they're, you know, just, yeah, come to Arizona. We'll give them a break. We'll have some fun. We'll do some. I already put a call into the Phoenix police guys. Said, look, we'll have, you know, some kind of events here. And instead of them making every cop and every city that they go to anything, they're always getting hassled, and it's like a standard, you know, ID, you have, no, I don't, yeah, you do, and it goes, and it makes the law enforcement just look stupid, you know, I mean, it's just stupid, because they're just being stupid. One was interesting in Denver, after this motorcycle cop did this, you know, running up and aggressive and chest out, pounding intimidation crap, they happened to have, I guess their watch commander was out there, their supervisors, and they're talking to him on tape, saying, look, this guy over here did it. Later, he came over and apologized and all that and left, so it, you know, was better. But then they went to a tailgate party at a Broncos game, and they had an RV out there giving out free beer and stuff, just talking to people about freedom and everything. And the company, you know, you comply or die kind of deal. So, of course, they arrest them, take cameras, you know, just because they can. That just makes them look stupid. Had their chance. You know, here in Phoenix, we're going to try and you know, do our best to make sure Phoenix comes out, you know, looking decent. Let's try that. What the heck? Now, just see if we can't. Just keep them from, just don't do something stupid, and we can have a good relationship. If not, fine. Yeah, it's fine, too. We'll document it, but let's give them some heads up. Because usually you're working with them, you know, kind of let them know you're doing, you know, they just know better. We'll see what we can do. Maybe we can make them look good. Because they're going to need it, because there's some other stuff coming up Wednesday. You know, Baseline Killer, Mark Victor's coming in, tell us all, updating, man. Oh, they're going to need some good press, so they need to come in. So they'll be here, and then we'll go out to the lake, and we'll have some fun. We'll go find, we know a bunch of different lakes up here, or canyons, with canyons going into canyons of canyons. And you go back, and you get to dry area, and you start walking back and hiking, going, and we'll bury a time capsule. Might even put a little silver in it, maybe a couple bullets, you know. Just for, just cause. you know, and maybe some USB flash drives and some predictions and prints, and you know, kind of put an ammo can buried out there, and then, you know, I'm sure that's against law by somewhere or somebody, but that'd be a good YouTube too, don't you think? So anyway, so we'll do that and have some fun. This is, you know, where our heads are at. These are the things that are going on. I mean, there's cool stuff like, you know, 3D television without glasses. You know, they got that technique coming up. They're starting to process that. So I guess I'm not buying 3D. I'll wait a few years and get the one without the glasses so I can watch it laying sideways. Cool. You know, so there's a lot of stuff. Oh, and then we got the CIA is blocking a lawsuit over experiments on troops. CIA is doing experiments on troops. I'm so shocked. So they're blocking all of national security. You know, I already know where this stuff goes. I mean, it's just the fact that they even do this. I mean, just, you know, please. Is there anybody out there to see some benefit in just telling the truth? And can they twist the truth? I mean, the lies are so bad, you can do whatever you want. Like, what's our slogan? Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. FreedomsPhoenix.com. You got to have a slogan? Okay, that's it. Reigniting the flames of freedom. Okay, by what? Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. We needed a slogan to go on our business card or what? I'm going, Neil, that's it. I'm just so tired of secrets and lies. Well, there's some people that did a really good job of that. They did a movie. It was called the Zeitgeist movie. Zeitgeist is German for, like, I don't know, the current condition or the age or a paradigm. You know, it's just, you know, the thought process, you know, the kind of the norm, prevailing opinion, you know, consensus reality, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going Zeitgeist. Well, I've seen the movie. I know a bunch of the guys have seen it and part of the movement. All this, but, you know, I get no one to really explain it. I'm OK. I get it. You know, you do a really good job of showing all the problems. What's your solution? Well, today, you know, we'll go at least an hour with the guys, you know. Louis Ferris, Zeitgeist Movement out of New York City. He wants to come on. He's going to give us all what for? All right, well, I'm going to grill him. I want to know what the heck their solution is, and we'll see if I can stomach it. We'll talk about it when we come back. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Everybody I talk to wants to change the world. Well, you know, I'm for changing the world to the way that I want it. And I'm sure everybody else has a preference the way they want it. And where can we overlap in the way that we want to change it to be able to change our world to suit us? And the only way you can do that is allow people to just be left alone. You know, anybody that wants to change the world so that it serves them, you know, well, I anticipate that they're not going to be leaving other people alone. They're going to want them to serve them. That's how we got here. You know, of course they're going to use their power and influence to get everybody to do whatever the heck it is that they want to do. Well, when you highlight that, there's such an enormous wealth of, certainly now with the video and YouTube and the ability to make movies and disseminate information on the internet, you can share this with just about anything with anybody. So what happens? I've been through this before. In the 70s, I think it was probably the mid-70s, I was in junior high, and we did a tour of a place called Kosanti. Kosanti and Arcosanti. Well, we did Kosanti then. Later when I got older, we did Arcosanti. Well, Kosanti is a place that used to be north out in the middle of the freaking nothing desert in Scottsdale. Palo Solari. Some of you, certainly if you've been southwest, may have heard of the Solari Bells. Well, these cast bronze Solari bells were done by, I don't know, the commune, hippie culture, de la intern architecture, whatever, for Paolo Solari, and that's all they, you know, you come the intern there, you're making bells. Well, selling these hundreds of dollars each a bell, you know, even thousands of dollars for some of them, is what funds their effort to create a society, hippie commune, whatever you want to call it. Well, Cosanti, it's very interesting in how they build it. What they do is they will take, here in the desert, it's very easy and it's a very innovative way of doing it. You'll just build all kinds of mounds of dirt all over. You put rebar reinforced grid over these mounds of dirt, you know, and you kind of put, you know, the support legs that go down and so on. And you pour the concrete over it, smooth it out. And you can even put different designs in the sand underneath it or whatever. And, you know, and then you pour the concrete over it. It cures, and you excavate the dirt out, and you got a big, giant room, big concrete shell. Well, if you get innovative, and you do it around different trees and around Palo Verdes and it washes, and you do, and it, man, you got a nice little complex there, and it's fairly inexpensive, and it's unobtrusive on the environment. It's very cool. Well, they did that, and they have a lot of school kids go around in the 70s and everything. Ooh, ain't this cool? Later on, he north of Phoenix, or a place called Cordis Junction, you go north of Phoenix on I-17, the highway, and it's only about, I don't know, it's probably not that far, 70, 80 miles or something, less than about an hour north of Phoenix, and it's a turnoff to go to Prescott, Arizona, so it's a popular intersection. You take that exit, and just a couple of miles off the road, you can see it from the highway, this canyon, and it's the face at the top, the rim of the canyon, and the face of the canyon is what's called Arcosanti. Same kind of building techniques, you know, maybe a little bit different, but it's all concrete. And just a little bit more at a time, a little bit more at a time. Decades go by. They have amphitheaters and the condos and so on. They're building a new society there. Well, we're interested in, and we'll have an event up there, or we go by every now and then. And so over a period of decades, since I was a kid, we're, you know, kind of keeping track of this. And then as you get older, you know what questions to ask. Things like, I want to live here. I want to get a condo. What do I got to do? I want to buy whatever. What do I got to do? I live here. What do I got to do? You know, the people that are working there and doing tour guides and so on oftentimes don't live there. They get paid, or they trade out services, or they're still making bells or whatever. I'm like, what is the economy here? What is the economics of the place? How are you, you know, what? Most of it is tourism. They have events up there and so on. I remember one time, and, you know, as a kid, younger, it was probably in the 70s or 80s, they had a big brush, you know, it's like high desert grass up there. It'd rain, then it'd die out, and you have all this dead grass. It's like 2 feet high. And Cadillac converters are hot. You know, they come off the highway, they put there, 300-something cars got burned up because it caught the grass on fire, just went through them, and that was bad. They didn't have a lot of big parties up there anymore. So we're going, okay, well, what's, you know, how'd that make out? What's the insurance? What's the liability? How do you rent the place here? If you want to stay there overnight, who's in freaking charge? Well, come to find out, they wanted our help at one time because they were going to classify, they had rented this BLM land, leased it for a certain number of years, and the years were coming up. Now 20, 25 years or something. They wanted to get more permanent. They wanted a grant from the government. They wanted to not be taxed like everybody else was. They wanted it to be classified as something. They wanted, you know, the idea of just private property never occurred to them. You know, it's just, well, the government has this. We're going to use this canyon, develop it, and then they'll, like, let us keep it or something. Or not. So we're following this through. Okay, well, what, you know, interest do they have? Are they going to annex this as part of Phoenix? Are they going to come up this far? How are they going to, who's going to get, you start making it worth something, they're going to want tax money. Or they're going to want to take it and give it to developer friends. Or they're going to want, you know, so what is, how do you convert it to private property? Can I have a private, you want me interested in this, then what private property rights do I have? Do I have any part of this, a part of the homeowners association? I got some land over there to build my little concrete bunker, day lot, whatever. You know, I get one of the condos here. No, it was all collectively owned by some committee, day lot, central status plan of. And every time we go up there, you can see all the benefits of private ownership and why it's developing so slowly is because nobody has any stake in it, really. How they're able to build and expand is they're in people's wills. What was her name? McFadden. Dr. Crusher in Star Trek Next Generation, the redhead doctor, you know, Wesley's mom. She did a promo talking about the facility up there and a little movie, a little documentary and so on, and encouraging people to, you know, help and donate and that kind of thing. So, you know, it was interesting. They did a good job. But the bottom line came down to, this is how we think people should live in the future. Okay, well, the way they live, the mechanism by which they live, you know, I mean, showing technology and how you're going to do architecture and all this and social work. And they, okay. But why would they? That's the problem that they're having. There's no incentive motivation other than counting on the good graces of your neighbor to have your interest at heart as much as theirs. Without any financial incentive, other incentive other than just love and family, you know, which is cool. You know, but that love goes away when somebody else, you know, sells the place out from under you or wants you to do what they want to do, or I need you over here in the field and plow. You know, it's directly this central planning thing. So that's what I'm seeing. Every time you have any kind of successful thing like this weekend, you know, Bob and I, we had him on last week. We were going to go Saturday and he couldn't go. And I wound up going with my son and his family and, you know, had a good time. But what Bob and I were going to do is we'll park the boat there at the boat ramp. After we get done boating, we'll just pull it up there, unhook it, and then go back further, because 15 years ago, there was a hippie commune that was back in there in the middle of nothing with some older woman that had passed away, left them this land, and kind of, you know, knocked yourself out. And you can see it on Google Earth. You can see their crops. You can see the little canyon they're in. You can see their little houses and little rock buildings they're building and so on. And it was, I don't know, probably four, five, six families that were kind of intermarried children, kind of old big family Mormonized thing. You know, well, they welcome people to come by. You could, they pitch a teepee for you. You could stay for a few bucks, you know, to kind of revenue stream for them. But they're, you know, if they're going grocery shopping, man, it was a chore. I mean, it wasn't impossible, but I mean, you know, it was a good hour, you know, the drive probably wasn't that bad, but it was on dirt roads back there. So we want to go check that out. You know, maybe it's better when it'll cool down a little bit. We'll get out there. We want to go see how these people live. You know, is it successful? If it's not, why? What's the incentives? You know, could anybody do, because anything that we're talking about doing, if we do any kind of multiple family thing, well, it's got to be gridded out. Okay, this is your, you know, none shall pass property line right here. You know, good fences make good neighbors. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. So we have this movie called Zeitgeist. And it's popular with a lot of the young guys. And a lot of people have seen it. You know, because it does, it's a very well-made movie showing what the problem is. You know, all the institutions that are trying to control you. The states, the church, the governments, the this, the that, your own mind, the media. And I'm going, okay, that's very cool. I see this a lot. You guys did a good job. Now what? I can get none of these guys to tell me the now what. Now, in the next hour, for the first time, I got contact with someone that's part of this movement, going through the media all over the place. You know, they want to, oh, we'll do a half-hour lecture and a half-hour Q&A. I go, no. It'll be an hour Q&A. That's what's going to happen. So we're going to go ahead and we'll get down to nitty-gritty on this thing. I want to know what their solution is. You know, they're one of the first to clearly articulate what a lot of the problems are. You know, banking and the lies and the media and the wars and all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm hip to that. I'm cool. What's the solution? You know, I've been through a lot of these. You know, I understand. Yeah, we got some bad things. What we got now ain't working. And why would yours? We're going to ask the tough questions. They're ready. I talked to them for a half hour. I want to make it very clear that, you know, so you're not getting slapped upside the head unknowingly. Here we go. So let's see what happens. I think it'll be entertaining and informative. So you guys stay right there. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, with somebody that's going to Lewis Ferris, that's going to talk to us about Zeitgeist.